Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Steve Van Rogel, Federal Chief Information Officer and Administrator for eGov within the Office of Management and Budget. Would you tell us more about the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program, and more particularly, how does it work, and what types of projects are they pursuing?
So the Innovation Fellows, Presidential Innovation Fellows, is really about, in certain aspects of getting things done inside, say, a company or things, you would take a group of people and put them on a particular project. In these cases, Presidential Innovation Fellows Program is really about defining innovation challenges for the government and then putting those innovation challenges out to say what people are interested in coming into work on those. And so U.S. Chief Technology Officer Todd Park and I launched the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program in 2012. And held a bit of a session with government agencies to say, come to us with your innovation challenges. What projects do you want to work on? We had a little bit of a competition for people to vote on, you know, which one won, and we pulled in the top contenders. We then put those out onto the public web, and Todd and I went to public events and did other things to kind of encourage people to go apply for this fellowship. And we had an overwhelming response, thousands of people came in for about 30 or so slots into government. And so we had the arduous task of sifting through all these resumes and pulled out just the cream of the crop of just amazing people to come in and work in government. And what they do is they come and they work with agencies. Agencies fund these programs. These people are brought in on short-term assignments, say about 6 months or so. Some have stayed a little bit longer. And they work with the agency on doing innovative efforts within their agency. Some of them, for example, were centered around open data. So we had innovators and entrepreneurs from outside the government come work and sit in agencies and work on unlocking their data to help kind of this new wave of data.gov and the other things we talked about. We had a group of innovation fellows focus on creating this platform they call MyUSA, which is a way that agencies can think about how do they build more consistent user design across their websites. We had someone working on mobile text-based payment platforms for foreign aid. So they're working with USAID on creating platforms and opportunities to pay people at the last mile of our foreign aid in electronic payments, something that leads to the safety of those people. If you're walking with cash in some of these dangerous parts of the world, it's not a very safe proposition. Or there's many cases where corruption happens at the last mile where somebody skims off some of the money before it goes to the last person. And by going electronic, you can track and you can get people the money they deserve for the work they do. And so that it's things like that, big lofty challenges in front of our government have been defined in this Presidential Innovation Fellows Program. And then we hire these incredible people to come in. And the most interesting phenomenon I've seen and what surprised me the most about it is, one, the overwhelming response, just these incredible people coming from all over the country to come work on this stuff. And two is, many of them get bit by the bug and they stay in government. And we have Presidential Innovation Fellows who now work for agencies. And we have a group within the General Services Administration called 18F, which is a tech innovation team that works with our newly formed digital service to implement technology inside agencies. And many of them are former Presidential Innovation Fellows.
Well, what are you doing? How are you working with OPM to get some flexibility and hiring authority so you can attract the right IT talent into the government? What are you doing in that area?
You know, I mentioned the challenges government has. And I mean, if you were to talk to an executive at Facebook or Google or anywhere else, they would tell you they have the same challenge, that they have way more aspirations than they have the people to go implement their aspirations. And so government, we face those other challenges. It's, you know, we don't have the incredible compensation that you would maybe have in a tech company. We don't have stock options. There's other benefits that don't come along with federal government. But what those places don't have is the impact at scale I mentioned before, the mission and the output we have in front of us in the government. And what you find is that a lot of people in the tech community are very attracted to that drive behind how do they go drive impact in the work they do, and using technology makes it even better. So facing those challenges, one of the things we've started to do is have conversations with the Office of Personnel Management on how can we look at more flexible environments for hiring tech people in government? You know, it takes about, we think about 150 days or so on average to bring a tech person into government. If you were to go talk to someone in the private sector in the West Coast, they would tell you it probably takes about 2 weeks to bring someone into their company. So we really want to look at, you know, are we doing as much as we can both on cycle time and productivity to bring those down, to, you know, shorten the time span, but also do we have the right processes in place to do this? We have in government direct hire authority for cyber security professionals. We can directly hire lawyers. We can directly hire procurement officials. I think technologists are probably, and digital service experts are probably next on that list. But, and that's the conversation we're having with OPM is, does that make sense? Does government have a critical need in this space? And I would contend yes. And so we're actively working with them right now and hopefully have more to report on that soon.
And I was wondering, maybe you can give us a progress report on the adoption of cloud computing in federal agencies. What's going on there?
Agencies are really moving to the cloud in a meaningful way. And what's great is the first wave of cloud adoption was really around kind of these commodity workloads, you know, the people hosting your email for you or other things. What you're now seeing is people moving to infrastructure in the cloud, so building solutions on cloud-based platforms. And this is where we had launched out of my office in I believe, 2012, FedRAMP, the Federal Risk Authorization Management Program, which one of the limiters, I think, of cloud adoption in the government was agencies were going to these cloud vendors, but all approaching the cloud vendors in very different ways. They were coming in with different requirements and different approaches, mostly around the realm of cybersecurity. They were saying, well, I need this set of features for to make sure I'm secure. And then this other agency would show up at the same vendor's door and say, I need this other set of features to make sure I'm secure. And that lack of consistency and these vendors needing to build custom solutions for government for all these in a very, you know, disaggregated way across the whole of government was really driving the price benefit of cloud out of the equation. Because once you start to customize everything, and kind of take it out of commodity realm, then you drive margin, you know, out of the thing. And so FedRAMP really set forth to do two things. One was to ensure that as we adopt cloud, it's secure. Mm-hmm. And so there's a very stringent set of requirements around this, the security built into this FedRAMP program. And two is give the private sector a consistent way to sell to government. Say, you know, here's the formulaic. If you follow this formula, you'll have success selling to the federal government. Something we've seen, you know, great success with in the past around this concept of mil-spec. You know, the DoD often drove technical specifications that soon became mainstream and part of the consumer experience. You know, the way that laptop screens are made and other things are probably all born from the mil-spec days of government. And so the moving into this consistent way of selling cloud and in FedRAMP, what you will now see is if you go to these vendors and you talk to the major cloud vendors, some variant of FedRAMP or some, you know, some of the kind of culture of FedRAMP is the way they now sell into the private sector as well. And so it's creating a nice dynamism. We've still got things to work on in FedRAMP. We need to make some improvements. We're working with the private sector on continuing to evolve. And the spirit of FedRAMP was really about kind of evolution and making sure we got smarter as we went. But I'm happy about it creating much more of a catalyzing moment for federal agencies to adopt cloud. And we're seeing good progress there. And I don't know where I saw this data, but I've seen certain data that says that the government is on par, maybe even ahead of the private sector in per capita spend on cloud computing. And so I think we're in good shape.
So what are you doing in the area of cyber threats and how are you working to mitigate them? What are some of those key threats that the federal agencies are facing and what are you doing in that area?
The cyber is, as you know, a very complex set of things. It's really kind of centers around some major aspects of the way we think about securing the federal networks. One is, you know, are we doing the basics right? What you'll find is you talk to cybersecurity companies and other things that if you can stop about 90% of the cyber threats by just doing basic hygiene things, you know, your password refresh cycles, making sure that the machines, the computers at the top of your network have extra security to make sure people can't get on, making sure you're patching and keeping everything up to today. It's some stuff we should do at home more often too. And so it's thinking about kind of those basics. Two is looking at the federal landscape and understanding, are the processes and procedures we have in place set up in a way that leads to a more secure environment? I would contend that FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act, which kind of guides the way people think about security, is good. It's an important step, and it's an important way to think about federal cybersecurity. But it's set up in a kind of an antiquated way. It's very paper driven. It's very compliance driven. It's a check that most agencies do every 3 years. Where cybersecurity is an evolving, it's a real time evolving threat. You know, if you just check your systems every 3 years, you're not staying on top of the way you need to think about security. And so we're thinking about the current landscape and how can we do smarter policies and procedures. That's going to be about working with the IG community, working with GAO, working with Congress and others on making sure that our policies and procedures are set up in a way that leads to success. And then third is, you know, what are we doing to foster the future of computing and using really cybersecurity as a way of innovating? And the two major areas we're doing there is one is technology that we call continuous diagnostics technology, which would be sensors you put out on the federal network, not on the public network, but our network that we run that can sense when things are happening. You know, is there malicious code coming into the network? Are there things, has someone plugged a USB stick in that has a malware on it? And should we quarantine that machine in real time? Is there data flowing from your network for an unexplained reason? And can you stop that? And in being able to kind of do in a much more real-time aspect, getting your hands around the cyber landscape, this is something that the Office of Management and Budget has greatly supported in the president's budget, and Congress has backed us up on it.
What does the future hold for government-wide IT? We will ask Steve Van Rogel, Federal Chief Information Officer within the Office of Management and Budget, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.